Well, it's a very special day as the one, the only Diane Warren joins us right now here on Round Trip with Dave-O. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Just working away. The fire alarm went off in my house at like 4 a.m, and I didn't sleep much, but aside from that.
Did you write a song? I hear you write songs at random times.
I didn't then, no.
We were talking to Jeanette from Exposé a couple weeks ago, and she was like, yeah, Diane's the nicest woman. And there was one night I was at her house, and she disappeared for 20 minutes. And we were all like, where the heck did Diane go? And I walked around her house, and there she was at her piano writing a song. So.
Yeah, exactly. Anything to be antisocial to.
Hey, but that's all that matters. So here's a question I wonder then. So, you know, we looked through the resume here. I was just reading all the things, you know, amazing accomplishments you've had. You know, but with that said, do you ever have time to just sit back and reflect and, you know, kind of pinch yourself? Does it seem real? Because it's kind of human nature to, you know, get lost in success and always be working so hard. Do you ever just sit back and kind of, you know, think?
You know, I don't really stop much and think, but when I do, it's like, you know, I mean, I kind of always kind of figured I'd be successful, but, you know, I mean, this level was, you know, kind of, you know, you never know. You know, but, you know, I'm instead of reflecting, I'm kind of always on to the next thing because that's just the way I am. you know, and I probably should just sit back and go, God, that's really cool that you did this, that you did this. I'm like, all right, no, nothing's good enough, and I got to do more.
Well, it's always keeping you motivated. So
yeah, exactly.
Let's kind of go back then from the start then so we can better understand you and your career and everything. So you kind of, from how I understand it, you kind of grew up on Top 40 radio.
Yeah.
Your dad was a huge fan, supported your dreams. You were kind of rebellious, some people say, as a kid.
Yeah. Still am.
Is that, by the way, is that stuff true that you want, that you were, because I'm a big cat guy, is that true that you once ran away and came home only because of the cat, or is it just a wicked thing?
It is very true.
Really?
I miss my cat, and I'm a big cat girl. I love cats.
Oh.
I love animals. I'm a real animal, total animal person.
And we'll talk about that later with some of the different Diane Warren Foundation, too. I respect you for that a lot. But going back to when you were a kid then, so exactly how old were you? Because most people dream of being, you know, the pop star, but you seem to always kind of want to write the songs. How old were you when you wrote your first song? And
that was smart. you know, I kind of started writing, you know, like when I was 11 a little bit, and then when I became, well, it was about 14, I became really just passionate and insane, you know, with the idea, like that. You know, writing every minute of my life, you know? So, you know, it's something I always wanted to do, even when I was a kid. So, I would look to see, you know, who wrote songs on records I had and stuff like that. So, yeah, I wanted to be that person. And it is kind of weird because, like you said, most people want to be, you know, in front of people and a star or whatever, and not me.
And so how many songs do you have in the vault, quote unquote, that have never, you know, seen the light of day that could be recorded someday that aren't? And then are any of those from when you were younger? Like, are there any way back?
Not really way back, because they probably are not good enough to see the light of day. But, you know, they're probably, I've probably forgotten them for good reason. But, you know, you got to start somewhere, you know what I mean? So I think the ones I write now are a little better.
So are there still, you know, the hundreds of songs that are waiting to be picked up someday? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I've written a lot of songs, you know. So, you know, yeah.
Cool. And then, so one thing a lot of people don't realize about you, too, is that you're more than just a word. You kind of do the notes and, you know, kind of put the songs together as well. How does the whole process?
Yeah, I write by myself, so I write words and music.
How does that process work? I mean, you just sit down and it just comes to you, or?
You know, I work at it. You know, I know it's funny, because, like, I don't even know what I do. I sit at the piano or the guitar, and I just kind of work on it. You know what I mean? I don't even know what the process, I always say my process is I show up. That's why, you know, that really is what I do.
So you're so modest, so modest. We're talking to Diane Warren right now. There has to be more than that, but.
Well, you know, I mean, I work. You know, I don't just show up and do nothing. I mean, I show up and, you know.
I do.
But really? Oh, awesome. I know a lot of people that do that, but I'm sure you don't do that either.
So let's kind of talk about more, like, you know, you as a person and everything. So you write some of the most beautiful music ever written, some of the best love songs.
Thanks.
So is Diane Warren, I mean, how would you classify yourself? Are you pretty romantic? Are you the complete opposite? Neither?
I'm really romantic when I'm writing a song, and then, but, you know, I'm pretty cynical
yeah.
and sarcastic. So, you know, anybody that knows me, like, you know, is kind of surprised by the songs I write. You know, how do you write that? I mean, look, I go like, how do I write that? So, yeah.
Is there a time, like, because I write sometimes like fiction stories and stuff. Is there, and I also find writing at night, I'm a lot smarter and sweeter than I would be during the day. Is there a certain time of day that works best for you?
You know, I'm a morning person. You know, I'm an early morning person. That's when I do my best.
Do you ever get writer's block, really?
You know, not too much. I get stuck on a song, you know, but I'm pretty cool with that. You know, I'm knocking on wood, and I'm knocking on my head right now.
So then how, so, you know, some of the biggest songs in the world from the biggest artists. So how does the process work then? So let's say an Aerosmith or a Celine Dion or a Bieber, whoever it is. So do you write a song for a person ever, or is it kind of, they come to you and they want a song? How does the hookup process?
You know, I mean, when I'm usually writing a, like just writing the best song I can write, you know, with a couple of those examples, you know, like say, you know, with Steven Tyler was a song I wrote for the movie Armageddon. Right. And his daughter, Liv Tyler, was in the movie, and it kind of turned out that he loved the song, and it was great, you know. I didn't write it with him in mind, but, you know, once he sang it, it's like, how could it not be written for Steven Tyler, right? But, you know, what I do to answer your question, I mean, I just sit down and try to, and just try to write the best song I can write. I don't try to limit it to one voice or one artist. You know what I mean? Just, I want to write a great song. I mean, you can write a great song and change the arrangement. I mean, for instance, I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, right? It became a number one country record with a guy named Mark Chestnut. Then there were dance versions of it. You know, a great song you can arrange a million different ways.
Well, you've done that too with How Do I Live and Don't Turn Around, Ace of Base. And
yeah, Don't Turn Around started out as like a Phil Spector ballad and became a reggae song and then became, yeah, there's a bunch of songs like that I've done that, you know. But when the songs are really there, you know, you can mess around with them.
Out of all the songs you've written, and this is kind of a difficult question, but what's your biggest success story? Like, was there a song people ever?
Well, they're all success stories.
Really? So there's not one that you think, wow, I didn't think it had a chance and it blew up. It's never happened, really.
Yeah, I mean, probably most of them, because you see how many things can screw up, you know. I mean, how many songs don't get promoted or, you know, don't get the shot they need. So honestly, whenever something's a hit or whenever something does well, it's shocking to me. So I never like take it for granted.
Is there one biggest song or a favorite that you've written?
I mean, I have a lot of favorites. So it's just, you know, look, the song I did on Beyonce's new record, that was pretty exciting because that was just me writing a song on the guitar and calling up Jay-Z and playing it and him having Beyonce call me, and 2 days later she was in the studio with just hearing it on the phone one time and holding her whole album up for it, which is my song I Was Here. So that was a really cool success story because that just happened, you know, in a fun way.
And that's one that we're going to play here.
I'm really excited about that song. It's really it's an important song, I think.
Yeah, well, okay, and I'd read somewhere in a different interview, you'd said, I think this is what the quote you was saying, who knows if you said it, but that it might be your best yet, that you feel that strong about it. Is that true?
Yeah, it's definitely in my best songs I ever wrote, yeah. And her performance is just incredible. I mean, you know, you could just feel that she really lived that song, you know, and just the way it happened was so great.
I think one thing that shocked me, like looking over everything, was that Aerosmith only had that one number one hit on the pop charts. How does that happen?
I don't know. Yeah, I was kind of surprised at that as well. I thought they'd had other, you know, other number one records, but nope, it was Mine.
And we were talking about the movie thing. You've had, you know, songs on nearly 100 movies now and different, you know, film scores and everything. So when you're writing a song for a movie, then do you, I'm assuming they tell you a lot of times what the movie's about. I mean, how much do you know about that when you're writing something?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like ideally I like to see the movie or I read the script, you know. I just did, you know, a song for this movie, Winnie, that Jennifer Hudson stars in. She plays Winnie Mandela. And it's an amazing movie, like amazing. And you know, I read the script and got really inspired. So that's always cool. Or you know, the times when you see a movie and, you know, I'd rather see it than read the script because I have kind of ADD and it takes me a while to read. I mean, all my friends are in the movie business, read like 10 scripts a night. And it takes me like a week to read one, you know.
I love the animal cracker scene in Armageddon. Isn't that great?
With those. Yeah, I know. That's like, boy, that's a lot of people. People like really gave that a lot of criticism. Like it was the worst scene ever. But I really loved it.
Oh, it's great. How can it be the worst?
I know. I like it was made fun of a lot. So, but I loved it. You know.
We're talking to Dan Warren right now here on Round Trip. So. Besides the Beyonce song, a few other songs I wanted to talk about, some of my favorites, and then we play them quite a bit here on Round Trip. So I know one of these is very special to you, I'm assuming, is tell us the story of Because You Love Me.
Because You Love Me is, I wrote for a movie called Up Close and Personal. I don't know, what was that, like 1990s? It was like a long time ago. too long ago. You know, I saw the movie on a Friday, came in the office on Saturday and started it, and when I started it, it was like I knew I had something special. And when I wrote the song, I was thinking like, I want to thank my dad for believing in me because my dad was, you know, he would take me to publishers when I was like 15 and stuff. So, you know, he was always kind of a fan and a believer. So, you know, her, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer's character, you know, is thanking Robert Redford's character. And so I kind of, you know, it's cool when you can take a song and have it mean more than one thing, right? And I think it meant something to me. It meant something to the movie. But when something like that, when it can really resonate, you know, on different levels, then you have a great song. You know, in other words, though, I mean, like, for example, that song, it's a wedding song and a funeral song. I mean, how can you do better than that?
You can't.
How can you get more diverse than that?
How about Unbreak My Heart?
Unbreak My Heart was started out as a title. And, you know, I just thought, I've never heard this said exactly that way. And I just kind of sat down and you know, came up with something that felt right for it. And there was a key change that, you know, into the chorus. And when I found that, it was like, okay. I brought it to Clive Davis, and he gave it to Tony. And I don't think she wanted to do it, but she did it. I think he made her do it. That's the story of my life.
Reluctance, but it works, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think my all-time favorite song that you've done, and probably one of my top five songs ever, actually, is Music in My Heart. Tell us about that one.
Oh, wow, thanks. It was a song I did for a movie. It was called 50 Violins or something at the time. It was Meryl Streep movie where she plays a violin teacher. And I guess 59 Violins or 50 Violins wasn't as good a title as Music of the Heart. I mean, I wrote my song Music of my Heart, and they changed the title of the movie. And again, when I wrote that song, I'd had a counselor, you know, from camp when I was a kid that was really nice to me. You know how you think back on a teacher? Because, you know, Meryl Streep's character was a teacher, and I wanted to write the song that the kids would say to her. Kind of like, remember in To Sir With Love?
Mm-hmm.
You know, same kind of thing. I wanted to write that song, you know, the modern version of that. And then I thought back on this counselor that I had that was really, you know, really inspiring to me when I was a kid. So I kind of, you know, used that to inspire me. And you know, and I played it to her after I wrote it, and she started crying. That was kind of a nice moment. And of course, it was up for an Academy Award, and of course, it didn't win. But it was pretty cool. It was NSYNC and Gloria Estefan.
Well, it should have won, so that's all that matters.
Yeah, I know.
How do you do this? It's like I was watching 60 Minutes the other night, and there's like this child prodigies. And how do you come up with the words and the, you know, the beautiful melodies at the same time? I just don't understand it.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I work at it. I don't know. You know. I mean, look, everybody has a gift for you know, for something, right?
Yeah.
So that's my gift.
Yeah.
And I work hard at it. I always want to get better. Nothing's ever good enough for me. So I'm never good enough, you know.
Guest judge on American Idol, whole episode was
that. That was fun.
You. Yeah. How cool was that?
You know, it was really fun, and you know, it was like a night of my songs, and you know, even if a couple of them weren't all that great that night. I was going to be more Paula than Simon. So, you know, I never want to be mean to somebody. I could never do that. I don't think I'd be a very good judge. But it was a fun night.
The whole Hollywood Walk of Fame thing, that's got to be cool having your own star. Do you ever go back and visit the star ever?
I've gone there a couple of times and stuff, but it's so funny because I was like a juvenile delinquent, you know, hanging out by those streets over there. It's like, wow, now I got a star there. It's kind of, you know, but I guess now people can literally all over me. As if they didn't already. They could walk all over me. They can all over me. Can you say that word on your show?
Man, we don't care.
You can bleep me. You can something all over me.
And every time you go there, you get asked 10 times if you want to take a Hollywood bus tour, probably, right?
You know, I've only gone there a couple. I've only seen the star for a couple. You know, I never go there. Huh. You know, I mean, I'm not that far from there. I don't know.
Then you get on the bus and they're like, "This is Diane Warren's house. We're driving by."
Oh yeah, that's so funny. I have no idea. I don't think I'm not on their list of people to do that to.
Well,
I think there's bigger names.
Before you go, I also want to make sure, like I mentioned earlier, that we give you credit and talk more about a lot of the philanthropies with the Diane Warren Foundation. So can you tell us what that's all about and some of the things you're involved with and how we can help and everything?
You know, I give a lot to a lot of animal charities because my passion is animals. I love them. And there's a whole list, but I don't even know the whole list. I mean, I give a lot to PETA. I give a lot to, there's a lot of organizations, a lot of small organizations that need the money. You know, anything to save animals. You know, I'd like to have my own, you know, no-kill shelters at some point. I really would, because I can't even comprehend the fact that people can kill that animals die. I mean, I'm a vegetarian. I never eat, you know, meat or fish. I just, you know, I just can't. The idea of an animal suffering, I can't even comprehend it.
Are you still a cat lover then? Do you have cats now or dogs?
Yeah, I have one cat. I have a cat named Mouse. And I have a bird. I have a parrot named Buttwings.
Oh.
And they get along, and my bird's scared. No, my cat's scared of my bird.
And before...
Well, she's a pussy.
What? So, okay, the Beyonce song, we know all about that one, but what else, yeah. What else should we know about? What else is on the, you know, on the horizon for you?
God, I'm looking at so much stuff from Akon to Keri Hilson, Sierra to Beyonce. I'm going to be working on Star Is Born with her. I'm really excited about that. Jennifer Hudson, this group called The Wanted, probably work more with Justin Bieber, and I'm up for 2 Grammys, actually,
yeah.
for Justin Bieber and for Cher. 50-year age difference between the two of them. Seriously, isn't that weird?
Justin
117 and 165. That's almost 50 years. I'm not very good at math, but
he did his first concert was with our radio station. He was all nervous. We had to push him on stage, but his mom kind of cute. I was talking to his mom all night. She's a sweetheart. So.
Oh really? Well, go out, ask her out.
Yeah, I don't know. She's probably too big now, but.
Oh, you never know. See, don't be scared.
We got to get
go
we
for
gotta,
it.
We got to get a Diane Warren and Katy Perry song, a song someday about her. She loves her cat. She's got Katy Perry, you know?
Oh, really? And I know Katy. I mean, I think we might do something together, actually.
Yep.
So.
Love it. Seriously, we really appreciate your time with everything. And more.
No, my pleasure. Nice talking to you guys.
Yeah. And, fans, and I look forward to staying in touch and helping as much as I can. And,
yeah, please stay in touch.
Yeah.
You have the number here. So, all right. No, thanks, you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
Okay, bye.